You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Standifer and I am your host. And today with me, I have Jonathan Lloyd, and he is going to be talking to us all about digital banking. Jonathan, it's great to have you here with me today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us all a little bit about yourself and your history in banking?
Sure. My name's Jonathan Lloyd. I'm the digital banking officer here at Citizens Bank. I've been in the bank for almost 30 years. This year will be my 30th year. I've started the digital banking process for the bank. I take care of cash management services as well as remote deposit capture services.
Yeah, so he's going to be a great resource as we start diving into digital banking and what all can be done in digital banking as it keeps growing. Every year it feels like there's more features and more options that allow you to take care of your banking remotely rather than having to go into a physical location if it's more convenient for you to do so. There are a lot of great resources in digital banking. But let's just start with a quick overview. How has banking changed in the last decade or two, especially with digital banking being as prevalent as it is? How has that impacted what people's regular banking routine looks like?
Well, digital banking has really taken people out of the bank. Years past, people used to always come to the institution to take care of doing deposits, making transfers, making payments, or anything along that lines. Banking's developed where it's gone to telephone banking, and that was kind of the next step. And people were able to do some features over the phone. Mm-hmm. And then digital banking started up, and now, like you said, a lot of new features are starting to get into the online banking itself, and it's really made it easy for customers not to have to come into the bank.
Yeah. And alongside with that, I mean, I know there's a lot of, features that have come along with not just the basic ability to do your banking, but there's a lot of things that are available to customers on their digital banking apps that allow them to take greater agency over their financial health. We've had people on, we've talked about, budgeting and all the different budgeting applications that are built into a lot of online banking applications, and the different security features that are enabled on digital banking. So it, not just has been changing how people do their day-to-day banking, but it's given people other options to control their financial wellness in ways they maybe weren't able to before, and given them that kind of agency. But what would you say is the most common thing that people use digital banking for? What do you see as the most utilized feature of digital banking?
In the past, people used to just, let me find out my balance. That was the biggest thing. How much do I have in my account? Mm-hmm. That's expanded into, I want to transfer funds now between my accounts. Mm-hmm. You're starting to get more into the debit cards now, and people wanting to use their purchases with the debit card, and now you can see, what do I have left for a balance? Do I need to move more money into that account so I can make purchases with the debit cards? Because those really utilize a lot of transactional use. That volume has increased a lot over the years.
Yeah, switching from, writing checks to it being people using debit cards as their primary source of paying for things.
Yep.
This is something that we've talked about it with other guests as well, is, the way that people manage their finances, like you said, one of the big things they do is they just look at their balance daily rather than balancing a checkbook or running that, because they aren't really writing many checks anymore either. There's a lot of things that, I even use daily on my banking app. I do the same thing. I check my balance daily. I check to make sure that, everything makes sense on there, because you can just look and in 10 seconds see that all the transactions are good and they're not things that you didn't do yourself. Among all these great features that online banking provides, what would you consider one of your favorite functions or the most useful functions that it provides?
I think one of the big things that really keeps people out of the bank again is just maybe they'll make a mobile deposit. Mm-hmm. You get your check, you take a picture of it front and back, does the deposit to the bank. Depending on the institution, those funds might be available to you immediately the next day. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to come in here to drop that check off or anything. You get to keep that at home and stay at home. You can do it on the fly anywhere you may be. If you're at work, you can do it at work. So it's a very nice feature to have.
Yeah, when I was in college in Minnesota, I still had my accounts down here in southern Wisconsin, and I got a couple physical paychecks, and I was able to deposit them, and I never had to step foot into a bank and was able to do all my normal transactions, got my paycheck into my account without even having a direct deposit, and those having those features available make that entirely possible. And I think that's one of the interesting things that we see nowadays more often is it allows you to access a more local bank from anywhere. That's kind of something that wasn't really feasible 20, 30 years ago. If you had a local bank that you trusted and you wanted to keep your business with, if you were on the road a lot or even if you moved, you're going to have to switch banks 100%. But I know a lot of people my age who I grew up with who, have their local bank from the area here in Wisconsin, and they still bank through them just because or they have accounts here at Citizens and they still bank through us because there's really no need to switch banks when you can do everything digitally and see all your accounts online and your transfers and all of and manage your debit card online and everything like that. So that is one of the interesting things that it has provided, local banks the opportunity to have those customers still connected with them, even if they're far away. We mentioned a little bit about, different features like budgeting. What kind of platform features exist for budgeting on most digital banking apps or online interfaces?
So a lot of the apps are starting to come out with the capability to be able to pull funds from other institutions. You can pull in balances from the other institutions, credit cards, your loans, can bring it in. It can be a budgeting tool to figure out what your finances are like. They can do a lot of, if I want to get a loan on something, what is that cost going to be to me? What would it? What kind of interest am I getting back that maybe I can pay a little bit more towards the interest on a particular loan? It's really nice at bringing that all into one place. I mean, a lot of it's hard to know where all your finances are, but it's really nice if you could bring it into one place and get that. And there are a lot of tools out there that do that, but it's nice to also have that built into your mobile app, as well as your online banking source itself.
Yeah, the less places you have to log into or track down, the more convenient, and the less information you're putting out there, I'm sure. But yeah, that's a really good point, and something I don't even think we touched on when we were talking about it on our budgeting episode is that with the digital budgeting platforms, specifically ones in bank apps, having the ability to pull information from external accounts so that it's not just you manually inputting everything, but it's actually digitally digesting all that information and generating results for you is huge. And you can, like you said, run scenarios and say, I might want to try to do a loan for this amount. What would that pay? It has calculators built in where you can run, and give you different what loan payments may be and what that impact might be to the budget that you have set up. And
absolutely,
a lot of those can be very, that's kind of the nice thing about the budgeting tools and a lot of the different features on digital banking is they can be very simple, or a lot of them can get really granular if you really want to.
They got flow charts you can create out of those. Uh-huh. When you bring in that kind of interest, find out what your expenses are going to be that way. Figure out, hey, I want to earn so much money by a certain time. What do I got to start with to start adding that money in, or how much do I got to add per month? And you can calculate that out, and then it can give you a nice running total of what that would be over what time frame. And it's really nice to be able to calculate that out and kind of on the fly.
Yeah, and from anywhere. If it's on an app on your phone, and you're out somewhere, and you're deciding if a big purchase is really going to affect your budget and you want to look at it again to see, that's huge. So let's talk a little bit more about security. We had mentioned that a little bit ago. With the different features, like you said, that you have available to you to manage your debit card, what else is available on digital banking platforms that is a security benefit to you as the customer?
So with the online app as well as the mobile app, we this past year upgraded that app to add an extra layer of security called two-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. So typically an ID and password is used to get into a system. That is old industry standard. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting this two-factor. And what the two-factor does is it's you can have a text sent to you. You can get an email sent to you. Mm-hmm. You can actually get hardware devices or an authenticator app that you can put onto your phone. And any one of these can be tied into the device and or your computer. And as you're logging in, you will get prompted to get that two-factor code to get in. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your debit cards, there was a nice feature that if you ever lose your debit card, you can actually hop onto the mobile app or onto the online banking and you can turn it off temporarily. They call it warm carding and hot carding. You call the bank and tell us you lost your card, it's hot carded. Card is done. You can't use it anymore. You have to order a new card and you're going to have to wait that week to 2 weeks or go to a branch where you can have it printed if your institution has that service. Or you can go on ahead and warm card it, which is basically a toggle switch on the app that you can just flip it off and it will temporarily not work at all. And all of a sudden you realize, oh yeah, I left it over here on this cabinet or something. You pick it up, you find it, and then you can go on ahead and just go right back to your app, flip it right back on. It's like nothing ever happened to mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, that's really nice to have that feature. I mean, you know, say you leave it at a restaurant or something, you even know where it is, but you don't want it to be usable in the meantime. You know, it's nice to have that added functionality of being able to turn off that credit card's usability until you're able to go pick it up and know it's back in your hands. And like you said, you know, different institutions may have different functionality, but for the most part, those are kind of standard things that are available. I mean, the multi-factor authentication for sure is something that's becoming industry standard for almost anything that involves your finances or personal information. And that's something we talked about with Scott when he was on here as well, is a very important part of making sure you're secure, your stuff is secure and your personal information is secure. And then, you know, another thing we talked about with Scott was scams. And I'm sure in digital banking, there are people who try to, you know, utilize your digital banking to conduct a scam. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the scams you've seen, you know, that have been digital banking focused?
There's three big ones that are prevalent that I see all the time. One is Zelle.
Okay.
So Zelle is a product that allows you to transfer funds from you to somebody else, as long as they're set up with Zelle as well. And a lot of the Zelle scams are they will send you a text. The text is just a blanketed text to any phone number. Could be a landline, could be your cell phone. You don't know. What they're looking for is for you to respond. So they'll say, hey, I sent you $500. Did you get it? And you're going, wait a minute. I didn't get $500. I didn't send $500. So they'll call the phone number that's on there. Well, now the scammer knows, hey, this transaction happened. They have Zelle. And they'll start asking you questions to try to get you to give you their login credentials, which is kind of the second thing that the fraudsters try to do is, can I get your login credentials so that I can go on ahead and get into your money? Through Zelle, you can just transfer that money out and they get the funds immediately and they have access to it right away. Also with getting your ID and your password, the other big fraud is mobile deposit. So trying to get the free money right away is somebody sends me a check. And what I've recently been seeing is they don't even send you a check anymore. The fraudster will go, can I have your ID and password? I'm going to mobile deposit this check for you. And you'll see the picture of the check is actually a monitor in the background. It's not even a real check. There's a digital check on the screen that they take a picture of mm-hmm. with your account. And they'll tell you, oh, I accidentally put in $2,500. Keep $500 for your efforts, but send me $2,000 back, whether it's through the Zelle. Whether it's a bill pay service where they can send it that way to them, or go get me gift cards and send me the ID and the code that goes with the gift card. The bad thing with that is once those funds are gone, they're gone. You don't get to have those back again. And then you're left holding the bag on that bounced check. And then we come looking at you, or any financial institution will come looking at you to get those funds back. And it's an uncomfortable situation, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this harkens back to a lot of the stuff we talked about with Scott and, you know, just being diligent and understanding that no one's just going to give you free money. I mean, as silly as it sounds, you know, it seems like kind of a no-brainer when we're talking about it, but you get in that situation and someone's offering you money, you know, it may put you in a situation where you're going to give away some information that's going to end up biting you in the butt. So again, with whenever you're working with personal information or the digital banking or anything with username and passwords, keep all that stuff close to your chest. You know, don't give out your login information ever. Your bank's never going to ask you for your login info.
Correct.
If they're the administrator of your account, they can access that stuff if they need to do any maintenance on it or anything. You know, if Jonathan, if you had a digital banking here at Citizens Bank and Jonathan needed to fix something with it, he's not going to call you and ask for your username and password.
Oh.
He knows how to go in and fix things without that. So, you know, that's just another thing to keep in mind too. And that's something that we'll probably keep bringing up in a lot of episodes because it's an important thing to keep in mind is in a lot of aspects of your financial health, being diligent and watching out for people trying to unfortunately take advantage of you is important, especially as we move more and more towards a digital banking environment. Like Jonathan said, it's so easy and low cost basically for fraudsters to just shoot out blanket text to a whole batch of numbers and see if anyone bites. You know what? That the opportunity cost to them is so low that they're just going to keep doing it because if anyone happens to do it, then it pays off for them.
You don't even have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be in the States. You could be wherever you want and you can be hitting those texts and doing the frauds that way overseas. You don't have to be on site anymore to do any of that frauding.
Yeah. So, So it's just really important to, you know, be diligent. You know, obviously, we don't want to scare anyone away from using digital banking or digital
right.
products. I think they're excellent and they really provide you with a lot of flexibility and features that you wouldn't have otherwise. It's just important to be diligent with your information whenever you are existing in the cyberspace. You know, it's
be safe.
Just be safe with your information. Clearly there's a lot of stuff you can do with your money, with existing accounts using digital banking. So what if you wanted to move it to a new account? Is there are there ways that you can do that without stepping into a branch?
There are. You can go on the mobile app as well as the online account, and you can actually open an account online. You can open a checking accounts, savings accounts. That's what we've started with so far, and those might expand down the road. But it's another thing that basically keeps you out of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do that from home. You can do it, again, if you're traveling someplace, if you want to just open up some kind of little fund account that you want to be able to put money into, mm-hmm. you can do that right online. And you can fund the account right online as well.
Yeah,
you can pick and choose if you want to pull from one account, pull from another bank. You can pull the funds over that way to fund that account.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing that's becoming pretty industry standard as well, that pretty much every institution is offering something like that.
Yep.
So it's, you know, like you said, it sounds funny. It sounds almost like a negative thing, you know, keeping you out of the bank. But I mean, it's all about convenience for the customer and figuring out ways to have banking be as little of an inconvenience as possible. You know, making it smooth in line with how you live your life, basically. You know, if going into the bank is part of your routine and it helps you keep track of your finances, great. But if it makes more sense and is easier for you to take care of it all digitally and just keeps you on track that way, great. There's still so many options for how you can do it and what works best for you. You know, I know that you can receive statements electronically and, you know, you can get some tax forms and stuff like that electronically. But what kind of other documents or notices can you utilize your online banking for?
So statements is kind of the baseline that
yeah.
everybody offers, the regular statements for your account. When you get into your mortgages or any kind of lending option that you have, you can get your statements sent to you electronically that way.
Mm-hmm.
Tax forms, like you stated, we just added some new tax forms this year that you can sign up for, get that all digitally sent to you. You don't have to rely on the mail. And that's just a big thing. If you don't have to rely on the mail, it's been getting slower, and these will get it faster. So as soon as we put them up for availability, you have them. Mm-hmm. and you don't have to wait for the mail to come to you. You can start on those taxes right away. You can make your loan payments right away. You can save that digitally. You don't have the, oops, I lost my piece of paper someplace. Now I got to call and get whatever the number is. You don't have to do that at all. So yeah, there's a lot of forms that are out there as well as notices that you can now get electronically too.
Yeah.
And they're all within either, again, your mobile app or the online banking itself.
Yeah. So what kind of notices can you get? Like what, I assume it'd be like some sort of push notification type thing on a cell phone. What kind of common notification options are there?
You can get an email notice sent to you, letting you know that there is a document available for you. The app and the online has, it's a push notice that when you're logging in, it's basically just an indicator telling you, hey, there's a message out there for you. Mm-hmm. And then that message is then available for you to be able to go on ahead and get. You can view it as many times as you want. You can delete them so they don't get cluttered up and start getting stacked. You can get the text notice sent to you too.
Mm-hmm. And what can you get notices like tied to your accounts? Like if I wanted it to warn me if my balance is getting low or something like that?
Yep, there are some balance alerts you can set up. You can set up levels of transactions hitting your account. So say you're utilizing like the bill payer.
Yeah, like a big payment comes
through or ACH comes in, your payroll comes in. You can set it so either an ACH credit or debit posts, a check clears, you hit the ATM and you withdraw, your debit card transactions. I've got one myself set up that anything over $100, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
That something's posted against my account for $100. You can log right in and go take a look at it and see, is this legit?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not legit, then that gives you a chance to contact the bank right away and have a chance to get those funds returned back to you again.
Yeah, because the sooner you act on it, the easier
Absolutely.
It is for the bank to try to recoup those funds for you. Yeah, it's all really, those are all really useful features. And, you know, with the potential fraud and scams out there and unfortunately people getting access to debit card numbers or something like that, it's important to be checking in on that. And if someone spends $700 on your debit card in Arkansas at Walmart, that's probably not you. So you want to be notified of that and go and look and check in and start acting on that sooner rather than later. So at this point, I'm going to get into some of the do's and don'ts here with digital banking. And I would say, first of all, do check out what your bank has to offer for digital banking. There are so many great features out there. I know we talked about some of the scarier things, and we just feel like we need to do our due diligence and warn people that there are always inherent risks with putting your information online and doing that. But if you're diligent and you're safe with your information, you should be just fine. And I would say don't hesitate to ask your banker or personal banker for help or for advice on how to use the personal bank to use the online banking or to even ask what features may exist that you're not aware of. And I would say definitely do utilize your digital banking to help keep track of your spending. It is way, way nicer to just look at your account every day than to balance a checkbook.
Do you know how many people probably balance their checkbooks nowadays?
Yeah.
I'm an old timer.
Yeah.
So I still balance my account. Uh-huh. I'm going to guess you don't balance your account.
Definitely. I have never, ever balanced my account.
And that's kind of the way because you have that access every single day that you don't have to go necessarily balance it. If you know what you're spending, you know what you've got in there. It's the subtleties of small transactions that if something like that sneaks through and you're not aware of it, it could be a potential loss to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the balancing is supposed to help prevent.
Yeah.
You don't have that happening at the end of the month and you know exactly where your money is. But again, I'm the old timer.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're still writing checks and that, then there is definitely still a benefit to that. And there are times where debit cards don't charge right away. So I definitely, there can be benefits to that as well. But there are also great options that you can set up a lot of times on digital banking where if an account would get overdrawn, you could set up maybe some sort of sweep from another account. I mean, that's a whole other topic, but,
overdraft protection.
Yeah, overdraft protection options. Manage and maintain a lot of that on your online banking as well. And I would say, don't overlook the ability to utilize electronic documents and don't forget to look at them when you get them. It's a great feature, but then sometimes people sign up for them and forget they signed up for them and call and ask to get their documents when they've already received them electronically. So don't forget to look at those. And do definitely be on alert for scams and people trying to get your information. Again, no one's just going to give you free money, unfortunately, as awesome as that would be. And if people are asking you for gift cards or your login information, that's always a red flag, and you know, don't interact with those people. Again, Jonathan's never going to ask you for your login info if he needs to work on your account. Anyone at your financial institution that's going to be assisting you with your account is not going to be asking for your password. They should be able to manage all of that on their own with their independent management systems at that bank.
And also, if you get a call, that's kind of sometimes a red flag. From what a fraudster will do is give you that call and start asking you information like that. If you ever feel uncomfortable about that at all, hang up. You know the number to your institution, give them a call, mm-hmm. and ask for the online banking area, or talk to a personal banker and they can help you out with whatever you're asking questions on. At least then you know who you contacted, because you can spoof a phone number.
Yep.
And it may look like it's the bank calling, and in reality, it's not.
Yep.
So if you ever, you start getting questions, you feel uncomfortable at all, by all means, hang up on that call, call in, and check on your account that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, another thing that Scott mentioned to us is if someone is initiating a conversation with you about your information, that's always a red flag.
Yep.
If it's one thing when you call the institution, ask for help with something, and then they start asking you for some identifying information to make sure you are who you say you are.
Absolutely.
That's one thing. But when someone calls you and says, hey, I'm trying to work on this thing for you for some reason, I need your login information, that's a big red flag. So, just be diligent with your information. And, but at the same time, don't be afraid to utilize the features that are out there. We really think that, the best experiences that you can get in banking right now are when you're utilizing all the features that are available to you. And quite frankly, to utilize all of the features that are available to you, that's what digital banking is for. And that's really to get the best banking experience that you can get. You're going to find that with digital banking. A lot of the things that we hear about that are complaints that people want to try to figure out a way to reconcile with their day-to-day banking would be alleviated if they were more involved with digital banking or would more regularly depend on their online banking. So, it's just going to keep being more and more that way. Quite frankly, it's just going to be more and more digital banking and less and less in-person banking as time goes on. And I don't think there's really anything we can do about that. So, it's just the way the world is going to be. So, paying attention to your finances is super important, especially with it available to you at such easy access. Digital banking gives you that ability to do that on a regular and consistent basis. And Jonathan, do you have any closing thoughts on anything we talked about?
Don't be afraid of the digital banking. There are a lot of features that are in there that we discussed already. You may not want to use any of those, but I've talked to a lot of customers that don't necessarily know that the feature is there, and work with them and tell them how to use a bill pay, how to use the Zelle, how to be able to do transfers between accounts, and making sure everything is as streamlined as possible. And it's amazing how they'll go, wow, that's something I can do by myself. I don't have to come in and do that. And you're like, absolutely. And they're really happy when they learn those kind of new features that are out there. And don't be afraid to call. We can definitely, that's my purpose, is to help support that digital banking and teach you how to use those features and make sure you're using them right and you're not misstepping anywhere and that you feel really good about what you're doing with that.
Yeah, definitely. And any personal banker at any bank should be more than happy to help you figure out how to use it the best. And if you're having trouble logging in or anything like that, walk you through that process. With that, that pretty much wraps up our talk on digital banking. We went over a lot of stuff, and it's a big feature, though. It's a big product, and it does vary from institution to institution, but they are, for the most part, offering a lot of the same features. But with that, we would love to hear your feedback, any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas for future podcast episodes that you might have. You can send them directly to me at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's heytimmy@amindformoney.com. And with that, we thank you for sitting and watching with us today, and hope you have a great rest of your day.